You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on a Sunday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Thane Maynard's guest this morning is James Jonkel, the man in charge of grizzly bear management for the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
Hey, Jamie, it's Thane.
Oh, hello, Thane. How are you doing?
Very well. Good to talk to you again. How's it going out there in Montana?
Well, good, good. Nice day here. A little stormy.
Well, you know, I always am lucky. I get to see you every May out in the Blackfoot, and my anecdotal observation of having come out, you know, 1 week a year for the past 15 years, it feels like there are more grizzly bears in that area than there used to be. But maybe that's because I get out more. I know when you're with people like the Birchnells and the Portmans, you know, you're on mountain bikes, you're on horseback, you're on those four-wheelers. But I see a lot of grizzly bears and grizzly bear tracks.
Yep. Things have really changed in the last 15 years. You know, when I first started working in the Blackfoot Valley, there weren't that many grizzlies in that area. And I started noticing tracks and sign, and a lot of the peers, you know, that I worked with were quite surprised I was seeing grizzly sign at all. And then, you know, over the course of that 15 years, we've just seen more and more bears showing up. More and more females having young. So it's a really excellent habitat there. And as a result, you know, the bears are coming back.
And yet I also know that that valley's famous for its ranches. And with those ranches, there's everything from young calves to all sorts of other opportunities for human grizzly bear conflicts. So how's that piece of it going? Are the bears going to make it?
We've been lucky in the Blackfoot. We've got a wonderful, you know, watershed work group, good community-based organization there where we were able to get ahead of the eight ball and do some pretty good proactive preventative stuff. And our grizzly bear conflicts involving livestock have been minimal, thank goodness.
Yeah, no
I
kidding.
Knock on wood because, you know, that could change as we get more and more bears. But really we have some excellent stewards of the land there, and we've not had that many grizzly bear depredations in the last 10 years. When I first showed up, we had a handful of them, but we were able to get ahead of it.
Well, and that's good to hear. I know some of it might be because the Blackfoot is still pretty wide open. It's not been as subdivided as perhaps the Bitterroot or other areas where as more and more people move in, there's more chance for conflict.
That's correct. You know, the town of Lincoln and mm-hmm. the town of Seeley has their share of black bear conflicts. But again, knock on wood, we haven't had that much problem with the grizzlies that live in those areas. But as that country gets more and more developed, you know, I'm sure we're going to see more grizzlies discovering the bird feeders and the mm-hmm. garbage cans and the dog food, that kind of thing. But thank goodness, you know, we've got some good people to work with in that valley.
Sure. Well, you know, you bring up a good point when you mention things like birdseed. Grizzlies, I think, for many people, are famous for being these humongous, dangerous, predatory animals, but they actually eat a tremendous amount of plant material.
Yes. In Alaska, a lot of people call grizzly bears clawed cows. Because when you see them, they're just like a bunch of black Angus grazing away out in the grassy field. They spend, you know, most of their time vegetation, and they graze a lot of grass. They eat a lot of different forbs. There's a lot of plant varieties out there that they take advantage of. And then, of course, when they can get the protein, fish and meat, they sure do. But it's the berries and the succulents and the grasses that they spend the majority of their time eating.
So give us a sense of sort of how many grizzly bears there are today in the Northern Rockies, as well as how that might have grown or not grown during your career.
Well, you know, my father came back down from Canada to run the Border Grizzly Project here in Montana almost 30 years ago. And at that time, the grizzly bear had just recently been listed as endangered and threatened species.
Mm-hmm.
And our bear population, the grizzly population, was about as low as it had ever been in Montana. And through various governmental regulations, the habitat in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem was preserved, and there was some pretty intensive management in terms of road closures and habitat preservation. And, of course, hunting was not allowed. And so in the course of the last 30 years, you know, is what I've been here, I saw the land get healthier, the country get wilder, and we saw the grizzly bear populations respond. And with that lack of hunting and that preserved habitat, they've definitely recovered. And here in Montana now, the state and a lot of the federal agencies are working together to move toward trying to delist the species, get them managed as a big game species again. A few years ago, they did that huge grizzly bear DNA study, and they came up with a good population estimate. And they're thinking they have about 1,000 animals in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem now. And for about 4 or 5 years, they've done a pretty intensive monitoring study on adult female grizzlies. And they've been able to come up with a trend, a 3% population increase in trend. So things are looking pretty good. And if they can get the species delisted, they'll manage it very carefully as a species of concern. One of the main pushes for this is we've got pretty good social tolerance in the Blackfoot.
Yeah, but elsewhere
in the state, not so much.
It's interesting because my experience is in the Blackfoot, and it is interesting that you'll run into folks who often are very anti-wolf, but they're really not anti-bear or mountain lion. So some of that, as you said, is that more than 50% of their food tends to be plants. But some of it, too, is they don't seem to be as threatening to livestock.
And I think, too, the image of the bear, you know, is a little different than the image of the wolf and the lion. You know, face it, you can't help but be impressed by a big adult male grizzly. They're just an amazing species.
You know, a thing I've always been amazed by is when you've shown, you and others, your dad, other folks from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the distances that these animals can move, not just over a season, but literally during breeding season, over one night, the distance they can go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they, when they want to move, boy, they can really cover the ground, and they use the roads and the trails just like we do. Some of the most impressive movements I've seen have been like back in the Bob Marshall Wilderness after a fresh snow. You can see where these big males will come down off the ridge lines and they'll hit the trail. And, you know, for as long as you want to ride a horse, they're going and going and going. And you set up camp and the next day you pick up on their trail again, and heck, they'll go 50 miles, 40 miles, you know, and they've got a purpose as well. They know where they're going.
So tell me this, you've seen some of the history and, thank goodness, some of the comeback of a species formerly endangered. What's your prediction 50 years from now? We're in mid-century of the 21st century. Is there space for grizzly bears in the lower 48?
Well, it all ties into habitat, you know. Montana is still pretty wild, but sadly everyone wants to move here. And the more people that come here, the more habitat that's going to get infringed upon. So as long as we can keep that country pristine, keep it wild, keep it connected, we should always have grizzlies. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next 100 years. So much of the rest of the lower 48 is getting so hammered, you know, and everyone's turning their eyes to the west. And sadly, I think the west will go too eventually. But I'd like to think that we can keep it pure, keep it safe.
Absolutely. And hopefully you'll keep grizzlies in a healthy population, in the Blackfoot particularly. Thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for spending a few minutes.
You bet. You have a good day.
I will. I'll see you next spring out there.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
My guest has been James Jonkel, head of the Grizzly Bear and Black Bear Management Program for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.